Ryan Noonan in for Rowan Anna on 720 WGN. Yes, it is that time. Friday afternoon, we welcome Susan Schmidt in. Her appearance is sponsored by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management, and this is the Keller Business Managing Your Future. Susan Schmidt, of course, is Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager, and Research Analyst at Westwood in Dallas, and it is always good to talk to you, Susan. Glad you could join us on the 4th of July weekend.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. We are a week in after the big Brexit exit or the Brexit fiasco, whatever you want to call it, that made the market go crazy. It made the currency tumble. And now a week in, everything seems to kind of be leveling out, and we've forgotten all about it.
We've forgotten all about it. We're right back to where we were essentially a week ago. And the markets rallied 6% this week. Any of the negatives that happened from Brexit and the Brexit shock last Friday and Monday have gone the opposite direction now. They've reversed, and we're back to basically where we were. So it's another sign that volatility is increasing, and we're just going to have a lot of up and down and choppy action in the market in the coming months. We have, you know, this global news impacts us and the speculation over interest rates increases, then you end up with a very skittish market, and that's what you see.
But the market has done this before, right, after big panics where, you know, it dropped for a while, and then it usually rebounds even better than where it was prior to the panic.
Well, we hope it rebounds better than where it was prior to the panic. That's always a good thing. And it does have a tendency to have a knee-jerk reaction. So, you know, Britain's exit from the EU and the referendum vote where the populace came out and said, yes, we want to exit, we want to leave and separate, was such a surprise to the market that there was that knee-jerk reaction. And so we are seeing a few residual effects of that. The dollar strengthened immediately as people were staying out of the pound. And what we've seen is the dollar's now gone back to sort of a normal relationship to other currencies. The pound is still about 10% weaker, so 10% less than it was a week ago, pre-Brexit. And what we've seen is a flight to safety. So what it's done is it's driven our interest rates down. Our 10-year treasury is at 1.44%. So that is incredibly low. When you think that we started January at, you know, 2.25, we were north of 2. 1.44, it's incredibly low, and it tells you that the world is buying U.S. treasuries because they think U.S. treasuries are the safe place to be.
Now, with all of that being said, a report came out today that said 3 out of 4 investors did lose money in June because of all the volatility after Brexit.
That's right. And so we did see a lot of movement between May and June, and it's been a tough first half of the year. There's been a lot of ups. There's been a lot of downs. Remember that by the time we got into February, we pretty much thought the world was ending and the market was acting like everything was going to go
right.
Just
everybody
off
panicked.
The cliff. Yes, and yet here we are. It's fine. The market's back near to its all-time highs, and businesses are coming out and saying, you know, we're about to hear from them on their second quarter earnings and how things are going. But so far, all the tone for management teams has been very positive. Business seems okay. And we just got some economic numbers out today, the Producers Manufacturing Index. Again, very positive for industrial activity in the U.S.
When something like this happens and we hear those numbers that, you know, 75% of investors lost money, are older investors affected as much as younger? Is there any sort of gap between an investor who's been, you know, in the market for 20, 30 years and somebody who just got in a couple years ago?
Well, I think anyone can be surprised at any time, and the market is always changing. So I like to think that experience helps because I've been doing this a long time, but you can also have a really good feel for it as a younger person and be fine. I think the perspective that you have is really what determines the winners and the losers, and really having the right perspective for volatile times, understanding the sort of volatility that you're going to see in this market and this type of action. And then also your time frame. If you can have a longer time frame, you can ride through this a lot easier. And overall, you're going to be fine. You just have to learn to ignore the bumps along the way.
Well, and as you said, a good sign. The market has rebounded and all the markets closed up again today. So things seem to be back on track after last week.
Definitely. And again, we saw very strong industrial production numbers this morning. We're about to start earnings season where we're going to hear companies report on their second quarter earnings. And I think that's a real positive. So I think we've got some stability here. There's virtually no news until we get to the next Fed meeting and then Jackson Hole, which is going to happen at the end of August, where we have all the economists around the world gather and meet and talk about what's going on in the various economies. So we're going to have just a few sound bites that come out over the summer to impact the market. Overall, I think things are going to be good.
And volatility always in people's minds, especially when it comes to oil prices. A lot of all the news outlets talking about, you know, it's, oh, 4th of July weekend. We've got the lowest gas prices in a while. Is the volatility in oil, do you see that continuing, or are we going to get to a spot where that may level off?
Well, it's very interesting because oil was close to 50 before Brexit. It dropped down to, you know, the mid-40s. And now today, right now, I'm looking at crude WTI is at 49.22. So it also has sprung right back up with the rest of the market. There's always a bigger demand for oil and gas as its derivative in the summer months because it's the peak driving season. You know, it's anticipated that we're going to see more miles driven this holiday weekend than we have in years past because gas is so low. And it just seems like gas is a part of the American culture when we drive our cars across the country for 4th of July. The bigger issue here is OPEC. OPEC is going to be silent for the most part until we get into November. That's the next OPEC meeting. And it's really going to be a story about what OPEC does with terms of supply and how much they're willing to produce. The oil story we got caught up in the first quarter, it's about politics in the Middle East. So I think volatility can always still happen there. We seem to have stabilized around that $50 a barrel range, but don't count on that. I think there's still some volatility to come in that.
All right. We're talking about, you talk about people driving, people, this is prime motorcycle riding season. Big story out today is Harley Davidson. Their stock price jumped today amid speculation that maybe there's a takeover coming. They've had this before where there's, you know, they've had some down times because their stock has been down because their sales haven't been strong. But there's been other times that they've been rumored to be the target of a takeover. Is this just another one of those times, or is there anything that...
Well, we don't know. So the company has a policy of not confirming, but they are acknowledging that the rumor exists.
Okay.
And as we said, we've had rumors about them before. Harley Davidson has a fabulous brand, but recently they have had trouble in the past couple of years because sales have been down. So it's a big business. It's got a dedicated client base, right? The customer there right. wants their Harley. They're very dedicated to the brand. And I think that makes it very attractive. What's interesting is it's another rumor about a takeover. And when we see these really low interest rates, that encourages this M&A, mergers and acquisition activity. So with the 10-year at 1.44, that means that financing debt is going to be less expensive than it is normally, and that encourages speculation like this. In fact, since Brexit, so just a week ago, and turmoil around Brexit, since then, we've seen over $1 billion announced in deals. So we've had actually 17 deals. Private Bank in Chicago is one of them being taken over by CIBC. We've seen Mondelez and Hershey. So we're seeing a lot of M&A activity, which is interesting.
And this is just because now people can borrow that money, or groups can borrow that money and take on debt for a lot cheaper.
Right? That's exactly right. And they're doing it with big companies. So we've seen 17 deals over $1 billion. In total, it's about $100 billion
wow.
plus worth of value that is being talked about here with being taken over. And if that really, I think, speaks to the confidence that businessmen have in their businesses and in the economy overall. So I think that's a positive because they feel that they can finance it. They feel that they're, you know, going after something that's a viable entity to going forward. And that's a good vote of confidence on the ongoing economy and the economic state here.
And for people who may not be familiar with this, doesn't mean that Harley was allegedly, because this is all a rumor, but say it was true, Harley Davidson wasn't necessarily looking to sell, but somebody went, boy, this company looks
right.
good, and we've got the money.
Harley Davidson wasn't necessarily looking to sell. So in this type of situation, and again, it's all still rumor at this
right.
point, it's a private equity group, so it's a group of individuals that have a lot of money that are looking to invest in something and are looking at Harley Davidson as their potential target. supposedly, and are looking at that saying, this is a really viable business. We like this business. We think it makes money long term, and we don't think that the stock market is valuing it appropriately for what it delivers. So that's why we have this rumor today and this jump up in the stock price, because it forced everyone else to go back and reevaluate it.
So is this, and I don't, this is probably illegal. Are there, can companies start these rumors themselves to drive their stock prices up, or is that illegal?
Well, it's certainly,
unethical?
I think the best thing to say is it's not good sportsmanship.
Right.
It's bad form. And so companies should not be starting these rumors themselves, and that's generally not how it happens. And if you're the CEO of a company, rumors like this really just lead to a headache, because it's going to cause a spike in the stock price today, and then if something doesn't happen or doesn't evolve from this, the stock price settles back down. That kind of volatility in your stock price means you get a lot of calls from investors. Your day gets filled with people like me asking questions. It's not good. So generally, CEOs don't try to start their own rumors. They kind of hope that everything just goes smoothly. Ideally for them, the day passes smoothly and their stock marches upward just a little bit every day.
All right. Susan Schmitz, our guest. Can you hang on for a minute, Susan?
Sure.
All right. Fantastic. Susan is, of course, with Westwood in Dallas. She's their Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager, and Research Analyst. And you're here every Friday here with Rowan Anna. We'll have more with Susan on the other side. But right now, she's earning her money today. This is very good for Violetta Podramedic in the traffic trouble spots.
I remember when Rob was young, me and Susie had so much fun, holding hands and
Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. I want to give a quick shout out and thanks to O'Hare Midway Limousine for helping us out at the Pride Parade. They are Chicago's premier car service for the city and suburbs since 1956. A full-service transportation company, O'Hare Midway Limousine has a fleet of sedans to motor coach, buses, and everything in between to meet all your corporate and personal travel needs. With 60 years of industry experience, 60 years, man, count on O'Hare Midway Limousine to get you where you need to be on time and in comfort. You can reserve today. Call 847-948-8050 or book online at omlconnect.com. Again, thanks to them for all their help. O'Hare Midway Limousine. Susan Schmidt is with us, and we are talking all things money. The market, as you said earlier, the market seems to be doing very well. The bond market freaked out a little bit, though. What's going on with that?
The bond market did freak out. So we had that, and that's when we talk about treasury yields, and we talk about yields going lower. Yields go lower. Yields are interest rates, and they go lower when people are bidding up or buying, increasing the price of the bonds. And so we're seeing a lot of money flow into U.S. treasuries because people are looking for safety. So they're not sure what's going on with the European situation because of Brexit. They really don't want to be in the British pound right now, and we've seen the pound go down 10% in value in the last week. So they're moving towards, we call it a flight to safety. So they're moving towards asset classes that they think are going to be very secure. And one of the most secure assets in the world is U.S. Treasuries. So the U.S. government, the treasuries that they backstop are very desirable. We saw that overnight where we actually had an all-time low on the 10-year treasury for the U.S. It dipped down to near 137. That is extremely low. It's closed today at 144. And again, that is very low. It's unusually low because of this flight to safety, so much demand, so many people are buying the treasuries. Remember, with bonds, it's like a seesaw. If prices go up, yields go down. So we're seeing a lot of increase in price and decrease in yields. And that's just reflecting the uncertainty that's still out there in the global scene on, you know, whether it be China and their economy, what's happening in Europe, or what might be happening in the Middle East.
Now, there was an article on, I think it was CNBC today, said, oh, listen, look at what all these people who are in the stock market and all that, they need to look at precious metals, because precious metals, that's the way to go. We heard about this earlier in the year when gold prices were up and everybody was trying to buy gold. Is that another place where volatility is the rule? Where, yeah, it's going to go up sometimes, but then it's going to go down.
There is a psychological comfort to owning gold. And remember that.
Well, you can hold it. That's what people like, something
exactly.
You can hold.
You can actually hold it. Now, interestingly, when you mine gold, you don't ever really use gold up. It doesn't expire. It doesn't disintegrate. We just keep acquiring more and more of it in the world. So you can hold gold. There's something very satisfactory about that. And we used to be on the gold standard. Mm-hmm. So all of the U.S. dollars used to be backstopped by, you know, Fort Knox and all its gold. But right now, I think those commodities, really gold is the one to look at because that's also seen as a place to hide. And so we've seen an improvement and an increase in the price of gold in the last couple of weeks. And that really is just a reflection, just like it is in the 10-year treasuries, where people are moving into that because they see it as a safe haven. They're comfortable with it. And so they want to, you know, just park there for the time being until things settle down.
Okay. And is it the same as investing in other things where, you know, you got to be in anything for the long haul, right? If you're getting into something and think it's going to be a short turnaround, that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
It's always a recipe for disaster if you're trying to make a quick buck. So it just doesn't work with the markets, certainly not in my experience. And my approach is to always take the longer-term view. You want to have as long a horizon as possible. So a multi-year horizon, certainly a multi-quarter horizon, is the way to go. Things move so quickly. When you're a shareholder in the stock markets, you're owning part of a company. And companies can't turn on a dime. So hopefully you're making an investment in a company that has a great future ahead of it. But it's a working business, and you're going to get reports on that business every quarter to tell you how it's doing. But it's got a long runway ahead of it. So take that long-term approach because that's where you're going to see the long-term appreciation and what might be possible in valuation.
Is there ever a bad time to get into the market? If somebody's looking to start investing now, or is this a good time? Is there better times than others?
Well, studies have shown that you can never time it, and no one's had any success picking the right time to get in or get out. It's human nature that we fall prey to our emotions, and invariably we end up trading at the wrong time, and it's detrimental to our overall performance. So studies show that if you just invest and invest with that long-term perspective, a multi-year horizon, it really doesn't matter whether you got in last Monday or whether you put your money in today. Okay. Ultimately, you still have the same effect, and it's the market is shown to be a great tool for appreciation and value, and again, being able to ride out the bumps along the way is very important to being able to enjoy that appreciation over time.
Now, of course, the markets are closed on Monday, but as people look toward next week, what should they be on the lookout for? What do you think we can expect?
Well, next week, we're going to have a short week, so the markets really don't have a lot of sound bites coming out. We saw some very strong economic numbers today. Next week on news flow, it's going to be relatively quiet. The next big news flow we get are with companies starting to announce their earnings, and that will start to trickle out but really come into force the second week in July. So look for that. Look to hear what CEOs are saying. See how positive they are on their outlook and how they feel about the economy here in the U.S. And I think that's a really good indicator of what we're working with.
Susan, always good to talk to you. Appreciate the time. Have a wonderful 4th, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you.
Take care. That is Susan Schmidt. Of course, Susan's appearance sponsored by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management.